bring in now Dan Ralph from the Canadian Press. As the CFL, they announced their schedule today. And Dan, if you're a member of the Ottawa Red Blacks, either their management, their coaching staff, or their players, what are you more upset about? 3 games in 11 days or having your bye weeks 18 and 20?
Both and both.
Yeah, like both. Like really, one of those would be awful. But the Red Blacks, the defending Grey Cup champions and host of this coming up Grey Cup, they kind of get the short end of the stick, don't they?
Yeah, how do you like that for preferential treatment?
Yeah, like not good at all. Like I know the Red Blacks have had some tough schedules in the past, especially their first year in, but how can this continue to happen?
Well, you know what? I don't know what the availabilities at TD are. I don't know what the availabilities are of the teams that they have to play in that stretch. So, I think anybody will tell you that doing a schedule is an inexact science. And last year, Toronto, with the bad dates it had, that schedule was horrendous. So it seems to be, you know, different center, same problem. And I'm not sure if that's, again, availability or the luck of the draw when you spit something into a computer and it doesn't think and it just spits something back out at you.
Just taking a look at the schedule so far, I've looked through the Edmonton Eskimos a few times, I've looked through the Riders, but is there anything that really stands out to you, Dan, looking at the schedule? Is, to me, is the one that I give the CFL a lot of credit. It seems like this season they're getting out of the NFL's way come September, October.
Yeah, good call, right? And I know, and again, my first thought was to take a look at Toronto's schedule because of what happened last year, and it seems to be a much more favorable schedule. There's one Monday game, but the games are mostly, in the fall especially, on Saturday, doing what you just said, staying out of the NFL's way, which is important too. And, I will say I like the fact that they're starting the schedule with Montreal versus
yep.
Saskatchewan. I like the fact that the first Friday night game is a Grey Cup rematch. And I like the fact that Edmonton plays BC and Hamilton plays Toronto. I mean, to me, there's all intriguing storylines for all four games. And that, to me, and I'll go one better. You know, Winnipeg has a bye, but then their first game is Canada Day at the New Mosaic.
Yeah.
So, you know what? There's some things to like, especially early on.
And it's safe to say the Saskatchewan Roughriders are the most valuable franchise in the CFL. And you're right, their first 2 weeks, they go at Montreal to face their former quarterback, and they open up their brand-new stadium on what could be one of the most-watched games of the regular season, Canada Day against the Bombers.
Exactly. I'd like to get a good look at Mosaic from that perspective, too. I don't know if I'd say that they're the most valuable franchise. They're one of, let's put it that way. But I know they're going to unveil that new stadium, and from what we've seen, it's going to be nothing short of spectacular.
Yeah, so you go to CFL.ca for all the info. Go to esks.com. I rattle off a few of the key dates. I'll do that later on in the show. Let's go kind of off the field for a few questions here, Dan. It's been
sure.
an interesting offseason in the Canadian Football League. When are the Toronto Argonauts going to name a GM and head coach?
If you know, tell me.
Okay.
To be honest, it won't. I mean, I kind of figured it was going to be at the earliest, late February, which is mind-boggling when you consider free agency starts next week, and you kind of like to have a GM in place. You kind of like to, have somebody in place to make a concerted effort to get some of your better free agents signed before the start of free agency. So, I wish I knew. That's the $64,000 question right now. And they're going about it completely differently, let's put it that way, to be politically correct. If they had it in their mind that they needed a change at GM, that decision should have and could have been made the first week of December, right after Grey Cup. You could have had your GM in place at the beginning of January, have a coach settled, and then you could also be going into the start of free agency with a battle plan. Now with no GM and no head coach, you wonder. I mean, the onus obviously is filling those two spots, and not necessarily free agency, which is going to be a frenzy for the first couple of days, as it normally is.
We're joined by Dan Ralph, the Canadian Press, taking a look at the Canadian Football League. Their schedule was announced today, and we're kind of going around with the CFL. Dan, could we see the reemergence of Mark Trestman back in the Canadian Football League?
I'd be shocked, and only because he's owed money by the Baltimore Ravens, who fired him earlier last year as their OC. And I don't get the impression that it's a pressing need for him to get back into football. I'd be very surprised. I mean, it doesn't say it won't happen, but I can give you millions of reasons why I don't think it will. And that's the money he's owed on his deal with Baltimore.
There's still obviously a lot to be done in the offseason. You mentioned free agency. There's still some trades that could happen. But right now on paper, I still put the Ottawa Redblacks at the top of the CFL East. Which team do you think has the best chance to maybe dethrone them? Is it the new group in Montreal? Is it whoever has been yet to be named in Toronto? Is it Hamilton?
You know what? I don't know what the heck to tell you about Toronto. So, I mean, until you know who their coach is, until you know who the GM is, I mean, they're the great wild card. I would still say if Zach Collaros is healthy that Hamilton will be the team that gives Ottawa the best run for its money. I like the acquisition of Darien, and no disrespect intended, but his injury history the last 3 years makes you wonder if he'll play all 18 games. And if he does, then I think they're in the thick of it, because Montreal's, you know, got a solid defense.
Yep.
If they don't play, you do have Vernon Adams, and I think he's the future. But, you gave up a lot to get Darien, and you probably spent a lot to get Darien. And I think he gives you the best chance to win. If he's not there, then I think they're back to where they were last year, and we all know where that was. So I would think right now, if Zach Collaros stays healthy, I think Hamilton gives Ottawa a run. I'm not sure how much better Ottawa is going to be this year. Well, I mean, a 500 record makes them better,
yeah.
But they don't have the 1-2 combination anymore that they had last year with Burris and Harris, and Trevor's a good quarterback, but if he struggles, you know, we have some question marks behind him now.
Going back to earlier in this offseason, Dan, were you more surprised that the Alouettes hired Kavis Reid as their GM or that he hired Jack Champlain as his head coach?
No, I would think I was more surprised that that Kavis got the job because it's a job he's never done before. And he will admit to you that there are shortcomings in his abilities as a general manager, and he's very forthcoming about that. I would have thought they would have gone after someone with a little bit more experience. Chapdelaine was 4-2 down the stretch last year. I think he had made himself a very viable candidate to be the full-time head coach, regardless of who the GM was. And so I was more surprised of the former than the latter, for sure.
Joined by Dan Ralph from the Canadian Press, taking a look at the Canadian Football League. Free agency opens next week. There have been some moves that have made. The Edmonton Eskimos re-signed to Darius Bowman, one of their most important players over the last couple years. This is going to be Ed Hervey's, I believe, his fourth or fifth year as general manager. What type of letter grade would you give Hervey? He inherited a bad team in his first year, went 4-14, turned around to a Grey Cup champion. What letter grade would you give Hervey as GM?
I'd give him a B+, and I still think that team has got a lot of upswing. Easy for me to say. I think as long as Mike Riley's healthy, that team is going to have a puncher's chance to win the West. And I still like it. The offense, Darryl Walker's not there, but we didn't know who Darryl Walker was 2 years ago when he came out of nowhere, and they found him at a free agent camp, if I remember correctly. So I do believe that you can find maybe not another Darryl Walker, but another competent receiver to complement Darius, as you say. And the receiving core that he has there is not bad as it is. So I'd give Ed's got a great cup ring from 2 years ago, and he just happened to be in a very, very tough West Division last year, and they ran into a buzzsaw that was Ottawa, and look what Ottawa did in the Grey Cup. So you can't fault him for that. So no, I give him a B+, a very solid B+.
Does the road to the Grey Cup out West, in your opinion, Dan, still have to go through Calgary?
No, without a doubt. There's no doubt in my mind. I think it goes through Calgary, and I'm not sure I'd want to play that team this year, because I think they're going to have a chip on their shoulders and something to prove, and I think they're going to realize that the regular season doesn't hold the same cachet as the Grey Cup does, and I think that team's going to be a long off season for them, and I think that team's going to come back with a vengeance. I really do, and I think if we thought they were good last year, I'm really looking forward to seeing how good they are going to be this year.
Let's close on this one, Dan. One of the most interesting teams I found last season in the CFL was the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Rattle off 7 straight wins in the middle of the season. They fell to BC in the playoffs. Well, it was a very exciting game, but what are the Bombers going to do in 2017? Like, you mentioned how the Argonauts are kind of the wild card in the East. I think the Bombers are kind of the wild card out West. Like, what can we expect from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers?
That's a really good question. I mean, we're probably in uncharted waters with them, because we've not seen what Matt Nichols can do two straight years as the starter. I mean, for whatever, you know, he's had injury problems and been in a situation in Edmonton where there was always another guy to compete with. This year, he goes into training camp, it's his job. And you know, he's never, ever gone into a training camp with that moniker as the starter. So we'll see. I think you're right. I think they're the great unknown. They're the wild card. But I mean, I think they are in position to do very, very well. They've got a decent quarterback. They've got a decent defense, and they've got a kicker who is lights out. And you know, they don't have to score 30 points to win. All they have to do is score two touchdowns and then let Medlock kick four or five field goals, and then you know, then you got a team to contend with. So. They are. I don't think they're going to go away. I think they're going to be in the thick of it. I think they're a viable team, and I think they're a team that can contend to play in the West Final.
Dan, I appreciate your time today. As the CFL schedule is announced, we'll have a free agency just around the corner. It's almost Canadian football season. Thanks for joining us, Dan. We'll chat during free agency, okay?
4 months. I can't wait.
Can't wait either. Thanks, Dan.
See ya.
Dan Ralph from the Canadian Press.